Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, and you can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, he had to work to get a permit to come across the Catawba River to join us here today, but he finally secured it. They had to go through a bunch of background checks to make sure he was legit. His name is Charlie Funderburk. He is the city manager for the booming metropolis of Tinkakee.
Yes, sir.
The only peninsula in York County that is just surrounded with all kinds of nature and houses and people playing golf and golf carts.
Yes, sir.
Everything, right?
Yes, sir. Live like you're on vacation.
That's it. That's a great line.
Yes, sir.
So now I want you to tell everybody a little bit about Charlie Funderburk.
So, as you said, I'm city manager for City of Tinkakee, have been since 2013. I've worked for Tinkakee since 2001, born and raised right here in Rock Hill, for generations of Funderburks and Bagleys. Been in the Rock Hill area for as long as I could find. Like I said, went to Tinkakee in 2001 and started their Parks and Recreation Department, and been fortunate to see it turn 2026, and I'm still there.
So for those who have not had the opportunity, I can't imagine why, to go visit Tinkakee, population roughly how many?
Just shy of 15,000 right now.
15,000?
Yes, sir.
And roughly how many homes would you say?
We're right about 5,000 homes.
5,000 homes?
Yes, sir.
Is there a square inch up there that you could build a home now?
There is. We've got, we're really excited about a development that is underway. We're anticipating hopefully this fall they'll start going vertical. It's a big mixed-use development that's called The Grove. So it's situated in between Dam Road and Stonecrest Boulevard. About 100,000 square feet of commercial space will be going over, going in there, along with a mixture of homes and townhomes. Really, really excited about it. It'll give us a probably Tinkakee's first downtown kind of feel, is what we're looking at in there.
Well, ever since they opened up, and I can't remember the name of the road, maybe it was Dam Road, that allowed you another way to get into Tinkakee.
Huber Graham Way.
Huber, that's it. There
yes, sir.
Go. And all that development that came around that Walmart.
Yes, sir.
That really has changed it.
It's really given us that commercial boost that the city really needed, because up until Stonecrest, we were a residential community. So being able to get that tax base and grow that tax base. And then with The Grove coming in, and we've got a commercial development as part of the Windhaven development that's underway as well. So it'll be close to 80,000 square feet of commercial in that one, that's in several different buildings, mainly office, retail, medical, that kind of thing. It's really the boost that the city needed for, I'll call it, the staying power for the future.
Well, I mean, anybody in business, if they took a look at the demographic of what's in Tinkakee,
yes, sir,
they obviously would want to have their shop somewhere close by.
It is very much a, I'll call it a white-collar community, if you will. Very highly educated. We've done a really good job since its inception. Yeah, and I mean, we just celebrated that at our past 4th of July celebration. We always celebrate the city's birthday party when we incorporated back in 1982. And we were able to have our first mayor come back and help cut the birthday cake. And it was really cool having Mr. Trulli come back in with us. Before it was the city, he helped lead the charge on incorporating as the developer was going bankrupt. So it was nice to have him back for, you know, obviously, we're celebrating the nation and the big 250, but yeah, we've been a city now for 44 years, which makes us a very young city still.
and a very desirable city.
Yes, sir.
But you know, the one thing that has changed dramatically for everybody in this region is this growth that we're having.
Yes, sir.
And the traffic issues that
has created.
Thank God for the pennies for progress.
Absolutely.
You take a look at good old Highway 160, which runs right up to the entrance to TK.
Yes, sir.
Used to be a little two-lane road.
I remember it very well. It and Gold Hill Road were both two lanes, and now they're big five-lane.
Seven lanes or whatever the heck it is. And as somebody, I can't remember who was, somebody who's lived in TK a long time, said, you know, I used to be able to get to my my office in, whatever, 35 or 40 minutes. Now it takes me an hour and 10 minutes or something like that. I mean, the traffic is just incredible. If you want an experience, just try to go to a TKK meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning. You better leave doggone early, for sure.
Yes, sir. The good thing is I like to say, we don't have any traffic jams in TKK.
That's a good political spin.
So we've got, It was great to see the new interchange at Gold Hill and 77. That is helping folks, you know, get onto the interstate a lot faster than they ever could. Well underway with the interchange improvements at 160 and 77 now.
Right.
It's a bit of a headache, but that comes with all road construction projects. So. Good to see that one moving along, and hopefully within the next year that'll be completed, and that will help. Now, we'll have to start looking at our partners up there in North Carolina to do something with the Arrowwood Road exits.
But, lots of luck.
Yes, sir.
Lots of luck. And we were just talking about that yesterday with RFATS.
Yes.
David was with us, and the fact that they've additional toll lane that they were talking about from the state line up to where it is in Charlottesville place.
Yes, sir.
That's now been abandoned.
Yep.
And the federal government is looking to claw back $60 million in design work that's been done on that over the years.
That's crazy. That's crazy. But, RFATS, and you mentioned Pennies for Progress. I mean, this area has definitely benefited through both of those things, for sure.
We would be in a real pickle.
Yes, sir.
We would not have had the growth we've had, but if the roads,
especially the commercial growth.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. I remember when York County and RFAT said, "Hey, we're going to widen 77 eight lanes, so be ready. Here it comes." Yeah, and everybody around the reach is like, you're going to do what?
Yeah.
I mean, and that wouldn't have been possible without RFATS at that time, you know. And then all the road improvements that have happened with Pennies, especially in the western side of town. But, I've been going to Clemson for as long as I can remember, and I remember getting stuck behind the logging trucks on Highway 5 trying to get over to Blacksburg and get 85, and now you can get there in the blink of an eye.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, we've been fortunate in TKK. You know, you just mentioned Hubert Graham Way. That was a Pennies for Progress project. We've got a couple projects coming up under the current Pennies that we're excited about getting those going. So it's been a great relationship, and both of those entities have done fantastic job.
So the biggest issue, I understand, in TKK is beautification.
So, I mean, yeah. So it's a focus from our council, and rightfully so. Instead of looking outwards, turning that focus back in and just reinvesting in our current infrastructure, we just completed a big beautification project on one of our roads, completely re-landscaped the median there. Our crews were also able to just completely redo the entryway into our golf course. Over the winter, we were able to remodel and relocate our golf operations into a brand new pro shop to better serve the golf community that we've got. And we're able to do that at the same time that we invited in a new restaurant group, the Garrison, which before us, they were operating in Pineville with the Garrison that's up there. And now they've opened a second location here in TKK at our old clubhouse, and it doesn't even look the same anymore. They've done a fantastic job.
So I was really intrigued with what you were telling me earlier about how the golf business has grown tremendously in TKK. Now, if you've never played the TKK golf course, you better be able to hit that ball straight.
You better hit it straight, because or you're going to hit it often.
That's right.
Absolutely.
The fairways are narrow and the houses are all around the place.
Yes, sir. So we've got the only 27-hole golf course in the area. And Pinnacle Golf Management, they came on board with us to manage that facility for us back in 2007. And we were about 25,000, 27,000 rounds of golf in a year. And right now we're on pace to be at 47,000 rounds of golf.
Wow.
They keep it packed. They do a lot of great, host a lot of great tournaments out there. But a lot of people look at it as a private course, but it is a public course. And you're not going to find a public course around here that can touch that facility. They do an excellent job.
And it makes money.
Yes, it does.
Which is amazing in golf.
They cover all of their bills. And then on top of that, a couple years ago, they've started pushing money back over to the city to help cover a portion of the bond that the city took out when we purchased the golf course from the developer. So they're paying 50% of that bond note.
Jeez.
At this point, plus covering their expenses and reinvesting back into the facility, which has been fantastic.
Yeah, that's worked out well. Well, speaking of golf, how could you have golf without golf carts? And golf carts are not only on the golf course, but they're all over the streets of TKK.
Yes, sir. I'm pretty certain when people buy a house, it comes with a golf cart up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. It's one of the unique charms about the city, especially during the nicer months. Yeah, you'll see golf carts riding all over the place, whether they're going down to one of our lakefront parks or they're going to one of our playgrounds or they're going up to the Garrison or going up to Model A, you know, the brewery we have in town. You see them all over the place. And we were very fortunate. I think it was in 2004. Or early 2005, the General Assembly changed the law on golf carts for the state, gave municipalities the opportunity to adopt, under certain parameters, their own laws concerning the travel of golf carts on public roads. And the city of TKK was the first one to do it. So we do allow nighttime travel at golf carts. It used to be you had to be back in the garage by sunset.
Right.
Now we allow them to travel at night under certain provisions, in compliance with state law and safety measures as well. So that's been really neat to see.
Now, to have a golf cart up there,
yes, sir.
Not only do you have to buy the doggone thing,
yes, sir.
But there are restrictions in terms of what that golf cart has to have.
Yes, sir. So you got to have seat belts, you got to have working headlights. You have to register it with the DMV, and that's always been a requirement. You can't operate them on roads that are where the posted speed limit's over 35 miles an hour, which the good thing is in TKK, unless you get out on 160, all the roads are 35 miles an hour or less.
I don't know how you could drive any more than 35 miles an hour anyway.
They do a lot of weird, unique things with golf carts these days. They don't just putt around anymore. So, and it's really cool to see some of the designs and the extras that people put on their golf carts. But if you've ever been to Hilton Head or down to Fripp Island and things like that, our mayor uses Mayor Miller uses the phrase a lot. Live like you're on vacation, and you really do. Yeah, you know, once you get out of the car and you get in the golf cart and you're riding around town, you really do feel like you're okay. I'm on vacation right now, and it's a Wednesday. So
you park the car, and then while you're home, you just use the golf cart.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh my goodness! So when it is from a recreation standpoint,
yes, sir.
You not only have the golf course, and you got the Model A Brewing, and you got the Garrison. But you have a wonderful park there
as
well.
Yes, Catawba Park.
The Catawba Park, which is not that old.
No, sir. We just opened it a few years ago. I want to say 2022, 2023 is when we opened it up. So it's about 3 to 4 years old at this point. In total, right now, we've developed about 55 acres of it as part of the park. It also includes the Catawba River Launch. that's just below the Lake Wylie Dam, and that's heavily utilized, especially in the summer months. Not as much right now with the drought. They're trying to keep more water in the lake, and there's a lot of rocks in the river.
We're getting hung up on the rocks.
A lot of people like to go up there, and they'll float down to Rock Hill to the Riverwalk. Spend a couple hours floating with friends in inner tubes and whatnot. There's a lot of kayakers and whatnot on it. And then the park, the rest of the park itself, we've got three full size multi-purpose fields that we use for soccer and flag football, and then we've got four baseball/softball fields out there, and a massive event lawn that just this past spring we hosted our Best Damn Food Festival.
I love that name.
Food truck rally. Based on the data we were able to get from our friends over at Visit York County, had over 15,000 people come through there that day, which is fantastic. And as people like to say, in little old TKK. So we were able to showcase that. And our next big event that we'll have down there will be our Catawba Fest that we'll do in late September.
Right.
We used to do it in October, but everybody seems to do a fall festival in October. So we just bumped it up a month and doing it in September. So,
all right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break and remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. You can find out more about them online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care. Find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. Okay, Charlie, I know you do remember this. We do fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. How we do it is in the white letters, and we're going to get everybody to chime it out together at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
We can do better. Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Gas prices might be high, but your auto loan rate doesn't have to be. Beat your current auto loan rate by 2% when you refinance with Founders Federal Credit Union. Plus, no payments for up to 90 days. That's right, a great rate and no payments for up to 90 days. Stop by an office or apply on a Founders app today. To learn more, visit foundersfcu.com/auto. For additional costs and information, call us toll-free 800-845-1614. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
More than 40 years ago, Piedmont Medical Center opened with a promise to provide compassionate, high-quality care. This year, we step forward as Piedmont Medical Network. Two hospitals, four emergency departments, and hundreds of dedicated physicians evolving to care for you today and for generations to come. As we grow and expand, one thing remains the same. Our commitment to caring for our neighbors. We are Piedmont Medical Network. Find a doctor at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com/about.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the brand, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Charlie Funderburk is with us. He is the city manager for the booming metropolis of TKK, a community of about 15,000 people, about 5,000 homes, and a whole bunch of golf carts that we were talking about.
Yes, sir.
But you know what else they've got? They got a whole bunch of deer.
Yes.
And you have become world-renowned for your issue with deer. So sir. How are we handling it now?
So we're still looking to see if we're into the maintenance phase of our wildlife management program. So 2 years ago, we did a sterilization and culling kind of combo process where we were able to bring in a company and they sterilized 200 doe. And then we, same year, we culled 160 deer. Just because we were way overpopulated with deer, according to the wildlife biologist experts with DNR and whatnot. Last year, we culled another 80 deer. We're not getting near the phone calls anymore that we used to get from residents and things like that about the deer. And we're seeing a lot of landscaping come back, the brow lines where they were just feasting on trees and things like that. You're seeing that come back. So we'll do another count this fall, and we'll do a count every year just to determine, are the numbers still trending the way we want them to trend? And then we'll present those numbers probably in October to City Council, and then take direction from there as to whether we're going to do another culling or if we're going to wait a year.
So how do you go about doing a deer count?
So we've got different transects that we've mapped out in on the peninsula, roadways that, right. And we go out at night with a spotlight, and you count all the deer that you see on each transect, and then there's a formula that those numbers get plugged into based on what the what the total acreage is of the peninsula is, right. And that gives you a pretty close number.
Now, I mentioned to you before, in tongue-in-cheek, that the culling of the deer, there's an alternative.
Yes.
I can go down to my good clients at Nickel Store, get a whole bunch of good guys, and they'll just come get those deer, and I'd save you a whole bunch of money.
I'm pretty certain they have called us already.
But
we've got a we use Low Country Wildlife out of he's headquartered out of Sea Pines down at Hilton Head. He was the first one to ever do what SCDNR refers to as urban deer management. And he's been doing it down at Sea Pines and Hilton Head for decades. So he's done the last two for us, does a fantastic job. And then we've been able to partner with the Catawba Indian Nation. And they've been paying for the processing, and they get the deer meat from it. So it's been really nice that we're, not everybody appreciates or wants us doing it, but it is a necessity. And I applaud our city council over the years for making that tough decision. But it's good that deer meat is able to stay here and it's able to go to the Catawba Indian Nation. So that's been a really, really good partnership with them.
Okay, so we can expect a deer count, and then we'll decide whether or not we're going to call.
I imagine by our October council meeting is when city council will be looking to have that conversation, make a determination what we're going to do this year.
Very interesting. And everybody's got the problem. I mean, Hilton Head's got the problem. Fripp Island's got the problem.
Yes,
deer are everywhere.
We've gotten calls from a few cities from around the state that have apparently run into the issue and are asking us what we did. And my deputy manager, I've dubbed him the deer czar for TGK. He's learned a lot. He's gotten a lot of knowledge on it, and he's been able to pass that on to the others that have been asking.
You know what's most curious? How do the deer get into Tega K? There's traffic all over the place. They can't be crossing Highway 160. Where are they coming from?
You would be surprised, but yes. We've got a lot of greenway and green space on the peninsula where they're able to travel around throughout the peninsula on that. But as we keep making connections and as we've added new developments, they come and hang out on the golf course and hang out in the green spaces on the peninsula. So we've gotten reports and seen videos of the sterilized deer, because they've got big ear tags. It's a requirement for DNR, all the way out at Gold Hill Road in 77 at Ross Distribution Plant. Some folks over at Duke Energy at the Catawba Nuclear Plant have found some of our sterilized deer over there. I mean, they would have had to have swum across the main channel to get there, but
it's amazing.
They definitely travel, that is for sure.
That is absolutely amazing. All right, so now this year, you have just jumped on to the fiscal year.
Yes.
versus what you had a calendar year.
So, well, we used to be October 1.
October 1.
So the federal fiscal year, if you will. Starting with the 2026-2027 fiscal year, we switched to July 1. So just started our new fiscal year. So last year we did a nine-month budget that ran from October 1 to June 30th. Which was a heavy lift for my department heads and staff because they had just finished budgets and then had to jump right back into it. But we're now on the July 1 fiscal year, just like the county and the state.
So what's the advantage to that? Why do it?
Biggest advantage, we're not having to do budget workshops all summer long, to be quite honest. Lining our fiscal years up, especially with the state and with the county, you know, we get a lot of our funding revenues come from those two sources. Mm-hmm. The county, as they do for everybody, they do our tax collections and things of that nature. So just lining things up, City of Rock Hill is also on a July 1 fiscal year. I think York or Clover may be on the July 1 fiscal year. It makes it a lot easier getting everybody together for your budget workshops. We're doing them in the spring. It makes it easier and more convenient for the public that wants to participate and come out to those budget workshops.
Sure.
Doing it in the spring versus doing it in the middle of summer when people are on vacations.
Got about 3 minutes left in the show. I told you I was going to do this. The airways have been burning up with all the shenanigans going on between the county and the city.
Mm-hmm.
You're a professional manager. You do what you do, just like David Hehan does in the city of Rock Hill, and Josh Edwards does for York County. When you sit back and you listen to all this, I mean, what runs through your head besides the fact that you're glad you're not involved with it?
Yes, I'm glad it doesn't involve TKK, but I would welcome that kind of revenue that they're talking. It's difficult. I think a lot of Josh and David, I know them both well, and they do an excellent job. And it can be frustrating when you get the deals worked out and then it's time for them to be voted upon and things change. From what I can tell, without rhyme or reason to it. I grew up in Rock Hill in the Rock Hill School District. My wife worked for the Rock Hill School District for a number of years. And, I don't have a seat at the table. I don't know what the behind-the-scenes conversations were, but I know it was a surprise when it happened. And hopefully the elected officials are able to get together and sort this out so that it can happen, because it's going to be a great deal for York County, a great deal for City of Rock Hill. Obviously, will be a good deal for Rock Hill Schools. I mean, right now you're getting taxes on vacant land.
Big deal.
Those taxes.
Might be able to buy dinner up at the Garrison with that.
But hopefully they'll be able to get it worked out. It's been an odd thing to watch from the outside, but there's also part of me that's glad that I'm on the outside and not having to work through that.
But a project of this scope could definitely impact even TKK.
I mean, it could. I mean, a project this size definitely is going to have far-reaching economic impacts beyond just the tax rolls and the jobs that it's creating. I mean, all those people have to live somewhere. They got to shop somewhere. They got to eat somewhere. I think TKK is a great spot to do all of those things. It's going to have a much bigger impact than just on the tax base itself, for sure.
So we hope now that the lawyers for both sides, and my understanding is that, they are trying to work out a time to get together. We'll sit down and go through the arguments that have been advanced and see if the lawyers can't resolve this and say, look, client, this is the way it is. Client, this is the way it is.
Yes.
You got to come together. You got to get this done.
And hopefully that'll happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully that will happen.
And when it does, we'll all come to the Garrison and have dinner. How's that?
There you go. Come on out.
All right. Well, listen, you've done a wonderful job. Thanks for being with us, Charlie.
Absolutely.
Next time, work on your permit to come across the Catawba a little bit earlier.
A lot faster. Yes, sir. Right.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Jerry Rode across from Winthrop. Presented by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And by Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. All right, gang, one more time. What we do here at Substation 2, it is called Fresh Subs and Salads. We do it 6 days a week. How we do it is in the white letters to bring those people outside, inside. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
Have yourself a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio on Monday. Bye.